this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power, models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
Don't sit down yet. Choir, thank you. You can go back to your seat. Keep standing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May your thanksgiving, your rejoicing be acceptable to God.
Amen.
And may He bless you in return.
Amen.
He always gives you reasons to rejoice.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
While we are standing, I'd like you to please turn your Bibles open. Let's read together. We are standing to honor God and His word. You have the man who brought me up said, God said he has exalted his word. That's what the scripture says, above all his name. He has exalted his word. So we want to honor the word of God as we read together from the book of the very beginning, the book of Genesis. We're reading chapter number 23. We'll read verse 1 to verse 4. And Genesis chapter 35, verse 19 to 21. Genesis 23, 1 to 4. 35:19-21. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
That's Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 to 5. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. And Sarah was 120 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriat Arba, the same is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Verse 3. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. If your Bible in your hand is your own, underline, bury my dead out of my sight. And then let's go to Genesis chapter 35. And we're going to read from verse 19 to verse 21. 1, 2, go. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave, until this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Eden. If you have God's Word or NIV, New International Version, or God's Word Translation, let's read those two verses. NIV, verse 19. Let's read verse 19 to 21. 1, 2, go. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. And to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Verse 21, read it louder now. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent. If you have an IV, underline, Israel moved on again. He moved on again. So, I have been sharing a message I've titled, Bury Your Dead and Move On. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us yourself. Anoint your word and let it accomplish your purpose. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
You may please be seated. Once again, I welcome you and all our internet viewers, everyone joining this service all over the world. You are welcome in the name of Jesus. Bury your dead and move on. Let me tell your neighbor, bury your dead and move on. That is the instruction of God for us. One major key to supernatural encounters that leads to glory, or encounters that lead to glory now, an advancement in life and in destiny of a man is to bury his dead out of his move on. It is important for you. It is important for me to bury my dead and then to move on. To move forward in life, Abraham had to bury his dead. Now, let's go back to that book of Genesis chapter 23. Now, I want to point your attention to something. Genesis chapter 23 that we read. Sarah, these were the years of Sarah. She died. The next verse. And she died. Then, the Bible says in verse 2, Sarah died. Then, Abraham came to mourn and to weep for her. There are very many people who are mourning, who are weeping for their dead. Something died around you. Something died about you. And you are mourning and you are weeping. And you have failed to quickly come to terms with the realization of the fact that this mourning and this weeping does not change or do not change anything. Mourning never changes anything. Weeping never changes anything. And that's why the Bible says weeping may endure till the night. And all through this night, nothing happened. Weeping does not achieve anything. So if you like, weep till now, till tomorrow. The only thing that will happen to you is that you will lose energy and strength. You will lose your voice weeping. You may even lose your health. Mourning weakens a man. Weeping weakens a man. So Abraham was weeping and he was mourning. Then he came to himself and he said, no, let me bury my dead out of my sight. Because you can never move on in life if you don't bury your dead out of your sight. If you don't bury what is dead around you, you will not move on. So Abraham, in order to move forward, he had to bury his dead out of his sight. Jacob too. Jacob had to bury his dead. He was buried. Now, Joseph buried Jacob. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, Jacob was, he died and was buried. The Bible says, Pharaoh was speaking here to Joseph. My father made me swear before he died, lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shall thou bury me. Now, this is interesting. The man dug his own grave before he died. Please make provision for your life and even for your death. Can I tell you what nobody likes to hear? Make provision for eternity. Make provision. If God has given you the grace, now make provision. This man was a man of faith, but he dug his own grave. Are you following what I'm saying? One of our mothers, a member of the board of trustees of Lighthouse, Mama Doherty, elderly woman approaching this March, she'll be 88 years old. Mama bought her burying place in Ikoyi Cemetery for herself and her husband. She bought it, and her husband died 30 years after she bought the grave. She bought it for 30,000 naira or thereabout. At the time the husband died, a burying place there sold for millions of naira. In fact, she bought that place. A place of. She made provision. Prepare. You won't die young. Prepare your will. I'm sorry, I have to tell you this truth because of many things that we have seen. People who die intestate, who die without a will, and the problem it has created in their family. People fighting for what they did not labor for. Above all, take care of yourself. Madam Elo, take care of yourself. Thank God for your children. If you die, they will live. They will live. So take care of yourself. Enjoy. The one you have struggled and struggled, my children, it's okay. But now, take care of yourself. Make provision for retirement. You know one of my prayers? My children, let me tell you two of my prayers. My children will be greater than me. Biologically, spiritually. If you are my son, my daughter, you will be greater than me. The second part of my prayer. I will never wait for a child before I eat. I will not need to depend on a child. That oh, this and your one day. I will never need to. What about you? A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's what I desire. And that's what you will get. That's what we will get. In the name of Jesus. How did I get there? He bought a burying place for himself. He dug his own grave. Alright? So he said, God, that's where you should bury me. Where I buried my father, that is where you should bury me. I pray thee, bury my father. I pray thee and bury my father and I will come again. Okay. What am I reading? There shall thou bury me. Now therefore, Joseph said, let me go, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. I need to go and bury my father, he's dead. Then I will come again. Joseph also had to bury his dead out of his sight. If you must move on, if you must move ahead in life, if you don't want to be stagnant, if you don't want to start thinking, then bury your dead out of your sight. And I will tell you what dead to bury. So, okay, my dead. Nobody will die. But what is the dead that I must bury? Or what are those things that I must bury around my life and destiny? Number one is your past mistakes and failures. You must bury the dead of your past mistakes and your failures. There is nobody here who has not made mistakes before. If you are here and you want to tell me, I have never made a mistake, no mistake at all, I will tell you that is the reason why you have not made anything after. Mistakes are parts of life. They are parts of the process for our making. The making of a man. You will make mistakes. Mistakes in judgment. Mistakes in decisions. You make mistakes sometimes. But if you allow your mistakes to stalk you, you are dead. There is nobody who has not failed, who has never failed before. Every successful man you see today failed sometimes ago at something. We all fail. There are things we failed at. But why would you build a monument? Why would you build a tabernacle around your failure? Why would you build it? I failed, so I can't move on again. No! It's past. God said in Isaiah 43 verse 18 that you should forget those things that are behind. Forget the things that are past. Don't remember the former things. Neither consider the things of old. It is important for you to stop remembering the former things, to stop calling to mind your past mistakes, your past error, your past failure. Everybody failed before. I have told you of my little niece who failed at walking. I'm so excited about the girl. I had to change my programs because of her. When she was 7 months old, I've told you the story, she stood up. 7 months old girl. I can't remember when, how old I was before I started walking. All that I remember was that my mother told me that I would go play at about 2 years old, and I would come back and remove her bra and suck breast. I would run again to go and play. 2 years old, still sucking breast. So I didn't know when I started walking. But this girl was 7 months old. She got up and took the first baby step. And took the second one. And took, and everybody, and then she tripped and fell. And hit her upper lips on the marble center table in her father's sitting room. And from that time, the girl refused to get up again. She crawled on her buttocks. Her first birthday, if you carry her to cut cake, she will go down again. If you lift her, she will go down. Because why? The failure of yesterday was still haunting her. The mistakes of yesterday were still haunting her. And there are very many people like that who have been haunted, who have been chased, who have been pursued by the mistakes, by the failures of yesterday. You can't move on if you don't let go. They push her to school. Started, she saw that kids running around. It was the day she started school at age 1+ that she now got up and started walking. That girl is getting married in March. And I will be the one to minister to join her in Lagos. I said I must come. I said I will tell the story. There were two things she did. That was number one. Number two things she did that I would talk about. I feel about Benny. I was a disciplinary officer of the house. You know, the father squatted me for 3.5 years when I started a branch of my former church in Lagos. He squatted me. So I was the lawyer, I was a disciplinary, I was the one beating everybody. I told you how parents were donating their children to me as if I was running a daycare. What I didn't tell you, I was the one correct. Shut up! And they will keep quiet. Hey, when parents say, Uncle Yemi is coming, they will keep quiet. They will, couple themselves, behave themselves. So this little girl, my niece, was eating her daddy's food on the dining. So I entered. As soon as she saw me, she started crying. Uncle Yemi, please don't beat me. It is not me, it is my spoon. So both me, myself, I reeked in laughter. The dad heard my laughter and ran to the sitting room and saw me rolling on the floor. And when I told him the way, he saw the daughter crying, and it's not me, it's my spoon. The father too said, did we beat her? We couldn't even beat her. So from that day, it's not me. She didn't remember saying that again. But I will say it on our wedding day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, shout hallelujah. Forget your past mistakes. Failure is not falling down, but staying down. Don't stay down. If you fall, get up again. Get up again. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, 16. The Bible says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Somebody shout, I will rise again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all, the Lord will deliver you. So you have to bury the dead of failure. Bury the dead of past mistakes and past failure. Everything in your past, bury it. Paul said, this is one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind. Please understand, did you make a mistake some time ago? That's okay. Get up and move on. And if anybody is looking at you with the eye of the past, let him stay in the past. Let him stay. Let him stay in the past. Your past is gone. Again, I repeat, if anybody is looking at you with the eye of the past, let them stay in the past. You move on. I have moved on. From my past, I have moved on. Now, if you are to bury the dead of failure and understanding, if you must bury the dead of failure, you must understand the difference between temporary defeat and failure. That's a temporary defeat. That's a trip. And that's different from failure. So you've got to bury the dead of your past. Past mistakes, past error. Past mistakes, past failure. You attempted something and you failed. That is not the reason why you shouldn't try again. That's the devil. The devil doesn't want you to try again. He doesn't want you to attempt anything again. He keeps bringing back the memory of the past. The memory of the failure of yesterday. The devil keeps bringing it back to you. No. You must say, no. I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm moving on. Yes, I failed yesterday. Yes, I'm moving on. I don't care what you did yesterday. Let yesterday go. I move on. Maybe you stole.
Maybe you committed fornication or adultery. Maybe you even aborted. It's in your past now. Let it go and move on. Let it go and move on.
Number two, you must bury the dead of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, you will not progress. There are children who must forgive their parents. There are wives who must forgive their husbands. There are husbands who must forgive their wives. Forgive and move on. I tell people, and I've told you before, to forgive is to set the prisoner free and discover you are the prisoner. You open the door of the prison, you have the key to the cell, you open the door of the jail, oh yes sir, come out. And when he will come out, it is you that is coming out. That's forgiveness. You are the one that becomes free when you forgive. When you hold people, you hold a grudge, you hold an offense against people, you are the prisoner. The truth is that the person you have something against may not even know. When I was still not very wise about this point, I'll be angry with my wife. And I'll be very angry. And she won't even apologize. She won't even say anything about my anger. I will now discover that she didn't even know she offended me. I have given you one example before. I will say it again. Doctor said I must have breakfast by 7:30 latest. She was there. I mean dinner rather. 7:30 p.m. Did I say breakfast? I would have been by me. Later 7:30 dinner. So our food was not ready until 8. I was angry. Emma Bino, and you know, she was like, Emma Bino, I came back late from the side, blah, blah, blah. I said, but you were there. Doctor said, as if it is that idiot, 8 o'clock that will kill me. Emma Bino, okay. So there was this day. I had one of my daughters with me, one of my pastor's wife was with me. And so, 7:30, I was screaming. My wife said, please give me 5 more minutes. So, 5 more minutes now became 30. So, at 8 o'clock, she now said, shaking going Jenyiwa. Should she ask me that question? Guess how I answered. No, Magbiwa. You know what my wife said? Ah, maybe my mama paying here to fetch Jenyiwa, let you get up. She didn't even know that I was angry. So the my daughter there when I said, Mommy, Egbiwada di tin binu ni here. Binuke. Egbawala binu. I said, oh my God. So another day food was already there. I got back home. I said, me, I will not eat at 8 today. So I went back, wore my jeans, and then drove out to Tantalizer. I bought 4 packs. Don't forget we were 5 in the family. I didn't buy for my wife, I bought 4. Myself and the children. So I gave to the children, none of us are sitting late today. So I put my own on the dining. I went to my room to wear shorts. So when I got back to the sitting room, my wife was eating my food and he said, I am Baba Koluma Bimi. No, somebody gave that to me too. You now bought for yourself and your children. You are selfish. And she was eating it. I said, I'm angry with you. She said, you are angry. Why? So I told myself, enter and babi nuti yoma. That is the way many of us, you are angry with people who don't even know. You better forgive them and free yourself. That be thank you, sir. Don't trouble yourself. You just be losing weight because you're angry with someone who does not even know he offended you. Don't allow anybody to break you. Never let anything break you. Never let anyone control your mood. Why should I be angry with you? You don't even know I'm angry, so why should I be angry? Someone said to, and I like that. He said, anger is the punishment we give to ourselves for other people's mistakes. The punishment you give to yourself for other people's, that's anger. The punishment you give to yourself for other people's mistakes, that's anger. So, forgive. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I forgive. In Genesis chapter 50, from verse 15 to verse 17, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to verse 17, then verse 19 to 21. And Joseph, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did. They did Joseph evil. You remember? His brothers did deep evil. So they said, now our father is there. That's the only. There are some people who are waiting for the day their parent, their surviving parent will die. They have told themselves, oh, and the I will deal with you. Forgive. Forgive. And I know what I'm talking about. That, okay, our mother is the only link. Our father is the only link. The day this man is God, this is, I will show you. Some are even ready to kill themselves. Forgive. Help me to tell your neighbor, forgive. So in verse 16, and they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father command before he died, saying, so shall he say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of your servants, the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. How did he answer them? Verse 19. Verse 19. And Joseph said to them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Me shall know. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish it. And your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly to them. Joseph had every reason to hate his brothers, to be angry with them. But Joseph realized that if I must make progress, I must forgive these people. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. You know, why did they sell him? They actually wanted to kill him. Eventually they sold him. Why did they sell him? They said, let us kill him and see what will happen to his dream. They were afraid and angry because of his dream. You have a dream. Maybe people are angry because of your dream. It's okay. And they have done some horrible things against you. Forgive them. Forgive them. They removed Joseph's coat of many colors. He forgave that one. They dumped him in a pit. He forgave it. They pulled him and sold him into slavery. He forgave it. Potiphar's wife lied against him and they threw him into prison. He forgave her. And it was that forgiveness. That it was reflected. When Joseph now got to the throne and he had children, Genesis chapter 41, look at what happened. Look at the names he gave to his children. Indicating the fact that I have forgiven. Verses 51 and 52, Genesis 41. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all the toil of my father's house. He has made me to forgive all the toils of my father's house. And he named the secondborn Ephraim, meaning God has caused me to be fruitful. There can be no fruitfulness without forgetfulness. You have to forgive to be fruitful. I am pleading with you. Someone hurts you, forgive. Your parents, forgive. Forgive. A man hurts his wife very bad, and the children. He had money and he eloped with another woman. And then things now turn back. You know the way it usually turns. And then he returned home. But he had left the children. So the woman struggled to train the children. She struggled and gave them the best that she could afford. And the children, to the glory of God, turned out great. May your children be great. And they decided to take care of their mother. Ah! And they took care of their mother. Built her a big house. Built another one for tenants. And set up some businesses for mama. Some things to be selling. What is mama selling? Don't tag your mama from your tonic. But mommy, what mommy? You just to keep her. So, I came to beg. So they gave him a room downstairs. The irony of it, he must not touch anything belonging to the woman. I was their pastor. Baba wanted to cook. He cooked his own meal in the house. So he put, he didn't have his own kerosene finished. And he was hungry. So he took mommy's kerosene to put more into his stove to cook. And mommy threw the stove away with the food because there was still unforgiveness. I can let your mind make her more forgive. Mommy, I forgive. How can I forgive? You're asking, how can I forgive? For your own sake. So that unforgiveness will not deny you entrance into the kingdom of God. Oh, but forgive, and you are thinking, I am justified. You are the one justifying yourself. Oh, you can't justify yourself. And God says, sorry, you can't enter. He said, why? I served you. I did evangelism. I gave tithe. I gave offering. You didn't forgive. You did not forgive. I had to forgive my own father. My father. This message I'm preaching to you, the Holy Ghost preached to me. I have told you this before. I was preaching powerfully. I was talking about forgiveness. And I said, if you don't forgive, you will not progress. You will not be fruitful. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me, including you. Because I did not forgive my father. And I began to cry. Please, you will do yourself a great deliverance if you will learn to forgive those who despitefully used you. If you will learn to forgive those who hurt you, particularly those who are very close to you, your parents, your children, your loved ones. It's in your yesterday. Bury your dead. Those things are dead. Bury your dead at your side. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Because anything he said, you know, wow. There is nobody who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. There is not a man that does not sin. So, but God forgives you your sins. But he says, if you don't forgive those who offend you, you will not be forgiven. So can you see that? It pays you to forgive. Let me tell your neighbor, it pays you to forgive. For your own sake. I forgive. Number three, the third death you must bury is bitterness. Bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Put bitterness away. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby you be defiled. Bitterness. Bury it. Bitterness is a strong feeling of pain, grief, and a desire for vengeance towards a person.
Bitterness is like a burning match. It burns the one who holds on to it. If you lit a match, lit it, and you hold it up like this, who will it burn? Down. It will burn you. That's bitterness. A strong feeling of pain, a strong feeling of grief, a desire for vengeance or punishment of another person. That's bitterness. I wrote in this book, Wisdom Pills for Every Relationship. Unfortunately, I think it's out of stock. Pill number 19. Let me read some things to you about bitterness. Wisdom Pills for Healthy Relationship. I don't know if they still have it in the bookshop. You still have it? You can't get better being bitter. You can never get better when you are still bitter. You will read what I've been saying. What are the indicators of bitterness? Bitterness is already taking root in your life or in your heart. If, number one, you have a strong craving for another's punishment or revenge. You've offered revenge. Or you are waiting to hear bad news about that person. Bitterness. Number two, you rejoice at another person's misfortune. There is bitterness in your heart. If you rejoice at somebody's misfortune, something bad happens to that person, say, hey, hello, mu. It's bitterness. It's bitterness. Like when I had a fire accident and I lost my twins, some pastor said, hello, mu. He said, he's the only one that has anointing. He's the one that is preaching, say anything, and everything. It's bitterness in their heart. Bitterness. Number three, you ridicule others' endeavors or achievement. You are bitter if you ridicule somebody's achievement. Somebody's building, you know, like Sambalat and Tobiah. What they are building, even if a force should climb it, it will pull it down. You are bitter, sir. Somebody's building around your house. You are bitter. When you see someone achieving some great feat and you are looking down, talking down about it, it's bitterness. Bitterness. Number four, indicator of bitterness, when you make negative or abusive comments or remarks about a person. I said, please mind what you say. Don't make bitter remark about people. Number five, a desire or wish for somebody's failure, calamity, or death. Bitterness. Won't you be bitter? You'll be bitter. The guy who raped you, an uncle who abused you, you are bitter against him. He has made you to hate men. So when you see him, you just wish he dies. Just for your, don't be bitter. Forgive and move on with your life. Somebody say, here. Are you still bitter? Get this book and read it. I'm not advertising the book. It's not that I want you to buy a book. This book has been written since 2007. So I just wanted to read those things out to you. Bitterness. Number four, death that you must bury. Other people's mistakes and weaknesses. We are speaking about your own. If you must move on, bury other people's mistakes. You have people around your life. You have people in your life. They will make mistakes. They all have weaknesses. You have your own. If you must make progress, bury their mistakes. Stop keeping a diary of people's mistakes. Oh, pastor, are you saying don't correct people when they are wrong? No! Correct. Rebuke. Tell people what they have done. If you have told them before, tell them again. Remind them this is what you did. Stop it. But after you have said it, let it go. Go shake me, go build the tabernacle. You not build the tabernacle around people's mistake and it's passing. Ori.
One of my ministry sons is a pastor at Sir Martin's Young Aburu. He's not a pastor, but he was a very bad boy. And so his mother collected cooperative money and put it in the bedroom. So the father had gone out. So he just wanted to help himself. So he went to the bedroom and picked the money. He put it in his pocket and he was about going out. He had his father's. He didn't know the dad was in the bedroom sleeping on the bed. Oh, yeah, that curtain. It was a curtain. And so the father said, "That way, brother." So, put it back. So, now he put it back. He now did like this to his father. Sorry. And he ran out. So in the morning, during family devotion, the father was preaching, and he said, "Olua, I want me only." So the mother now said, "Thank God, none of my children is still a thief." So the father now looked at him. "After me only, we rebuild this." The father did not tell the mother, but the following morning was not passing. The father said, "Only." He was going to school. The father said, "Only." He got back from school, Kulesa. "Only." For those who have been to Anglican Church, his father was a church warden. And during communion, he was going for communion. As he got to his father, the father said, "Only." The guy began to cry. He began to cry. "Only." The young man is a pastor now. And he said that thing haunted him. The father's voice. The father didn't tell the mother. Up to the day I said it in his church. The mother was laughing. The father was laughing. And praise the Lord. Only. Bury other people's mistakes. As long as you have humans around you, they will always have their weaknesses and they will always make mistakes. Let it go. You must be emotionally wise. You must have emotional maturity, emotional intelligence to understand that people will always make mistakes. But let it go for your own sake. Let it go. To succeed with people, you must bury their mistakes and move on. Bury their mistakes and move on. Number five thing you must bury: your past glory. Your past glory. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. Your successes of yesterday. Yesterday's success could be the worst enemy of today's progress, if you allow it. Your past glory. Bury it. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended upon all these achievements. And so this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before." Forget your past glory. Bury it. Yesterday is gone. Bury the dead of yesterday. Don't gloss over your past losses, failure and disappointment, or your past glory. Bury them out of your sight and move on. The Bible says, concerning Jacob, after he buried his dead, the Bible says, and he moved on again. He moved on again. Why is it important to bury your dead? Number one, you will soon begin to see everybody and everything and every opportunity around you as dead if you don't bury your dead. Everybody will be looking like, so a man offended you, so every man now is an offender. Every man is an offender. Hear this. A beautiful young lady, very beautiful girl, came to me for counseling. And She was so beautiful. I can't say with her. She got up to go. So I called her back. I said, sweetheart, come back. Are you in any relationship? I asked that question, maybe I just asked for asking sake. She said, she paused and looked at me. Yes. I said, but why did it take you so long a time to answer? She said, I want to break the relationship. I said, why? She said, I'm fed up. Fed up with him. I said, please come sit down. She sat down. I said, why? She said, I'm fed up with him. Is that your first relationship? She said, no. The fourth one. What happened to the first one? I broke it. Second one, I broke it. Third one, I broke it. So I knew something was wrong. Then I said to her, why? I just got fed up. And this present one, the guy is in the UK, and she wanted to break the relationship. I said, don't break it. She said, no, I'm going to break it. So I said, who disvirgin you? Please pay attention. Then her eyes changed. She was no longer the one that was standing before me. I could see some demonic manifestations. The look. It wasn't her. Manifestation began. And then she paused and she looked at me with anger. She said, I was raped. Oh. So, the memory of that past was still haunting her. She would see men, and after greeting you, loving you, she would suddenly remember and hate you. The past was holding on to her life and to her destiny. So this message I preach to you. I said, let go. She said, no. I said, forgive. She said, no. I said, I know you love me. She said, yes, you are my pastor. I love you. I said, okay, please. Why don't you see me as that man who raped you? She said, no, you are not the one. And she became aggressive. You are not the man. You are not. I said, please, I am the one. I needed to help her. Are you following me? That's the power of forgiveness. I needed to help her. I said, just see me as a man. Just see me as a man. You are not the man. She began to scream. I didn't lay hands on her. She was screaming and rolling and fell and was scattering the place. So I prayed for her. Leave her. Come out of her, you foul spirit. She began to cry. So I held her hand. I said, please say, I forgive. Please forgive for on the man's behalf. Forgive me. She was crying. Beautiful girl with kata coming out of her nose and high everywhere. Then she said, I forgive you. She broke down and rolled for some time and kept quiet. Maybe she slept. Maybe, I don't know. But she got up dirty. But better. A few months after, she didn't break that relationship. They got married. They're living together in the United Kingdom now. And this happened over 17 years ago. Forgiveness. If you don't forgive, if you don't bury your dead, you will start seeing everybody as dead. When a man comes, another man, another dead is coming. So bury your dead out of your sight. If you want to move on, forgive and move on. Where there is something to bury, life will be stagnant. Anytime there is something to bury and you have not buried it, your life will be stagnant. In Genesis chapter 30 verse 3, they were stagnant. There was something to be buried. Genesis 53, Numbers 20, 29. And she said, behold, Genesis chapter 50 verse 3. Chapter 50. 40 days. When 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Stagnant. There is something to bury. Life remains stagnant. For your life to move forward, you have to bury that dead. That's the reason when someone dies in the family, everybody just wants to just bury this man so that we can move on. Because until that man is interred, everything stands still. Bury your dead. Let me tell your neighbor, bury your dead. And move on. Numbers chapter 20 verse 29. Look at this. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days. Even all the house of Israel. The journey stopped because they were mourning. Your journey will not stop. Bury your dead and move on. Let me tell your neighbor, bury your dead and move on. If something dies in or around you and you don't bury it, it begins to stink. If you carry it about, you too will start to stink. You may die with the dead if you don't bury your dead. Matthew chapter 8 verse 22, Jesus said, you come and follow me, let the dead bury their dead. Don't die with the dead. Bury your dead out of your sight. It's time to bury your dead out of your sight. It's time to move on. Stand to your feet. I'd like you to close your eyes. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone who offended you, cheated you, duped you, lied against you, abused you, misused you? I'd like you to receive that grace now. Father, I receive that grace and I forgive. I forgive. Lift your voice and begin to pray. I don't know. I have to give you any prayer point. Just go ahead and if you have to mention the name to God, Lord, I forgive so-and-so who abused me, so-and-so who did this to me. I forgive. Talk to God. We are burying our dead out of our sight. Talk to God. Forgive. Forgive those who have aught against you. You know, Jesus Christ said, if you are coming to church with an offering and you remember that your brother has aught against you, he said, wait, put your offering back into your pocket and go and settle with your brother. Don't give offering until you are settled and reconciled. I forgive. I forgive. Go ahead and forgive. I'm not giving you any prayer, please pray. As you are forgiving, you are setting the prisoner free. And as the prisoner is walking out, you will discover you are the one who has just been set free. I forgive. I want you to begin to drop all bitterness. I drop all bitterness. I drop bitterness. I drop anger. I drop all forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I let go of my past. I move on. From my past mistakes, past error, from the error and the mistakes of people, I move on. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Close your eyes, everybody. Do you know the power to let go and move on only comes to the man who has also enjoyed forgiveness, ability to forgive? It is the man who has received the gift of forgiveness that can offer forgiveness. If Christ has not forgiven you of your sins, it will be difficult for you to forgive others also. If you have enjoyed forgiveness, you have enjoyed mercy, it will be easy for you. And so maybe you are here this morning, you want to enjoy the forgiveness of God. You want Jesus Christ to forgive you all your sins. You want to become a child of God. You want to be born again. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.